staff or any advertisers.
And it's Deja Vu.
CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank, is excited to be part of your neighborhood. CB&S Bank is a community bank with 113 years of being committed to the communities they serve. Come see the people you know and trust in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Pike Road, and Birmingham. Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
There we go. It's Deja Vu all over again. Like last night. I cannot find the...
You found it last night.
I'll find it again. We've got it's the big show tonight. We got Terry Adams here. We're going to talk about all kind of strange, weird things. If you guys will just mutter among yourselves for a couple of minutes,
well, we're pretty good at muttering.
Okay. Yeah, we can mutter.
Yeah,
I can mutter.
I'm sitting over here muttering too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about conspiracies tonight.
Ooh, can we murmur?
We can murmur.
Murmur.
We can murmur.
Good,
yeah. Okay. You know, the last time we talked about. JFK, you know, that's one of my favorite conspiracies. What's your favorite one?
9/11.
9/11.
I could write a dissertation on the events of 9/11.
Yeah. Do you tend to think, what was that governor up there?
The New York governor, you mean? Giuliani?
No, the one that was the wrestler.
Oh, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, he thinks a lot about the 9/11 stuff that went on.
Did you ever see any of his programs?
Yeah.
Conspiracy? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, he's Jesse the Body.
Yeah.
Yep.
I found it, but just a second.
He did some good work.
I know it, and some of that stuff really makes a lot of sense that he comes up with, you know, and it's a wonder he's still living.
He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Mexico.
Well... Maybe there's a reason for that.
Like he's hiding out. 75-year-old guy with no hair all the way down his back.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to find.
Yeah, hard to find.
Well, I didn't know he was in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, he relocated.
I know why he went down there.
Uh-huh.
He changed his name to Jose, huh?
Not yet. It's coming.
Won't be long. Okay, give me just a second here. We'll be ready.
But, yeah, 9/11 is probably my favorite. But, you know, Kennedy's story, I think it really woke a lot of people up as to what capable of happening in this, you know, this republic, democratic republic we live in.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Are you ready to be astonished?
Okay.
Okay, ooh. we got the two regular things,
so
and then
stop murmuring
we're
now,
just
right?
going to stop murmuring and start over.
Okay, we can do that.
604-18, here we go.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
Ooh.
The following program contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Time for the legal disclaimer. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives before implementation. So there.
Coming soon to a motion picture theater near you.
He found the lost ark. He's been to the Temple of Doom. And now he's back and starring in...
Indiana Ernest and the Secret of the Healthy Portfolio.
Wild Animals. Bloodthirsty Savages. Low flying airplanes with snakes in the cockpit.
The cockpit? What is it?
It's the little room in the front of the plane where the pilots sit. That's not important right now.
Nothing can stop Indiana Ernest from helping you whip your finances into shape.
Indiana Ernest and the Secret of the Healthy Portfolio.
Call Indiana Ernest at 334-279-7431. That's 334-279-7431. You want to watch it with that thing? It's incredible. It's indescribable. And it's in this theater.
Indiana Ernest and the Secret of the Healthy Portfolio.
Call Indiana Ernest about your portfolio today, or you might be saying,
I got a bad feeling about this.
Right guy, wrong movie, but you know what I'm talking about. It's
Indiana Ernest and the Secret of the Healthy Portfolio.
Don't fail to miss it.
Hear that sound? You know what that means.
Every year about this time, the Salvation Army is taking it to the streets, ringing the bell and asking you to come fill up the red kettle. The money you donate goes to help some folks in the river region that might not have a Merry Christmas. And bell ringers are needed. Call Lieutenant Brian Farrington, 334-265-0281. And he'll tell you how you can help the Salvation Army this Christmas season. Call 334-265-0281. Become a volunteer bell ringer today. Hey, yeah. You know that fella over there?
No, but his face rings a bell.
Call the Salvation Army, 334-265-0281.
One, two, three, four.
Do you believe in UFOs? How about life on other planets? Maybe life we don't know about here on this planet. Do you think our government knows something they won't tell us? Mm-hmm. Do you believe the government is withholding information from the citizens of the United States of America in an attempt to control us? Then you, my friend, believe in conspiracies. Join David Ernest for the next 60 minutes, along with noted conspiracy theorist Terry Adams, as we bring you something the government does not want you to know. The truth.
And the truth is, I thought you guys would like that.
That's good.
Yeah. Welcome to the Health and Wealth Show. We've pretty much got it back in the road now. I'm here this evening with my good buddy, David Ernest, and my other good buddy, Terry Adams. Grasshopper's here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he's here.
He's holding it.
Got the Elvis voice.
Yeah, he's working on that.
He's
too.
Working on it.
But we are set to talk conspiracy. And, you know, it looks like the government, actually the Democrats, are really pushing this impeachment thing, man.
Good. Yeah. And, you know, really, there's no conspiracy, in my opinion, to that as to why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know the truth deep down inside. It's obvious that when you have just about everybody on one side against everybody on the other side, there's not any bipartisan in this. It's obviously a plot to destroy the other side.
Well, I heard them say a while ago that what they're trying to do is overturn the 2016 election results.
Absolutely.
Basically, just take... I guess just take this out and start over. I mean, who are they going to put in? I guess Pence.
Well, legally, Pence would come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to put Donald Trump in jail. I don't, you know.
Well, think about this, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Newt, what's his name?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, you know that old white-haired guy, yeah.
He said,
Gingrich.
He said, Donald Trump has not been initiated. What does he mean by that? Not been initiated.
He is not in the club.
They haven't taken him out and rolled him around yet, I guess.
Evidently. In other words, he hasn't learned how to creatively steal from our government and loot the treasury, what they've all been doing for the last 50 years.
Because I still say.
Maybe he don't want to be initiated. Maybe he's resisting their crookedness in the background.
Yeah, I still say you cannot become a millionaire in 20 years, making $174,000 a year.
But see how they do it.
I wish I knew.
I wish they did, too. I'm a financial guy. I hadn't figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, unless you hit the lottery. And then most of them spend it within 2 years. So
and,
you know,
I've got something. You guys mutter among yourselves again. Yeah. I got this Nancy Pelosi thing.
Okay.
Pelosi makes me sick.
Yeah,
that
for real.
That woman's evil.
She looks like her face is, been
Botoxed
to death.
That's funny you should mention that, because a little later on, you guys know what a lounge singer is, don't you?
Yeah.
You heard of lounge singers?
Uh-huh.
I actually have some sound of a lounge singer singing about Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, really?
I saw this afternoon.
Okay.
Press conference.
All right.
Yep. evidently.
Well, she has the audacity to quote the founding fathers.
That's ridiculous.
It's
a little muddle here.
I asked the question. Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with it. Let me just say this. I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with the helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the elect. Take it up in the elect. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. Mm-hmm. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
And then she walks out.
She sounds drunk.
She looks drunk.
She always sounds drunk.
And, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I know a lot of nice Catholic people.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Oh, they're wonderful people.
The Catholic folks are very, very...
anti-abortion?
Yes, that's what I was going to say, kind of funny about that.
Yeah.
And, but this is the party, the Democrats. That's their battle cry. Free abortions for everybody. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Come get yours. And then she's a good Catholic.
The hypocrisy coming from them is staggering, guys. Staggering. Mm-hmm. Basically, everything they say, if you turn it around 180 degrees, you'll get the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much they lie. Everything they say lies.
She's a bad Catholic. That's where, I turned that right around. Yeah, you saw what I did there, yeah. But, Terry, glad to have you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And
thank you for
I'm just going to kind of hang back till that break because I got this thing I'm working on over here.
Okay.
But you guys, anything else we want to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And, one of the things, being in the financial field like I am, I see all these things that they're trying to do, and they try to doctor it up and make it look like they're trying to protect the public.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. This thing where they want to report an IRA or a 401k at the end of the year.
Right.
And they want to know what the balance is. And you're 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Or young. I'm going, And they say, well, we just want to know. Why do they need to know? Mm-hmm. Why do they need to know where your dough is?
Well, why does a dog bury a bone? Why does a squirrel hide a nut? So I can come back later.
And get it.
Yeah, I figured that out all along.
Oh, okay.
I get myself.
That's not even the conspiracy, is it? It's kind of obvious. But there's all these other things that they keep talking about, that they want to do. For example, how to invest money. And I keep looking at, England. I've talked about this over and over.
Mm-hmm.
They 60% of their people cannot afford, or should I say, can't find one that would do it,
mm-hmm.
Work for them as a financial advisor. Now, why?
They want like a ton of money, right?
Well, I mean, what it boils down to is nobody is going to work for the system that they put together. And they say that they are protecting their citizens,
mm-hmm.
but actually they're blocking. And so mm-hmm. when you look at Elizabeth Warren's desires, and Barack Obama tried to do it, where they wanted to push everybody into a fee for service, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, make everybody pay a fee for service. No commission. In other words, it would be like when you sell a motorcycle, Terry, you charge them a fee for that service. You don't charge them for a profit. How in the world could you sell motorcycles?
Not very long.
So what this does is it causes the multi-rich, mm-hmm. the multi-millionaires, to be able to afford the system. But you ever seen on the page, like Fidelity or something like that, and they'll say $500,000 minimum. Why do you think it says that? Because they can't make any money off the system. And so the little guy that is trying so hard to get something done is on their own. unless they've got something at work, like their 401k, or if they've got someone like me that works off commissions and will accept them. Mm-hmm. And so this is the reason why when, and I praise Trump for this, he came in and at the last second wrecked what Barack Obama had put together. It was called the Department of Labor. What was the Department of Labor trying to do? Anyway, the Securities Exchange Commission and the insurance departments should be in control of investments, not the Department of Labor. So, right. But he couldn't get them to do it because they said it was ridiculous. I mean, they didn't say it out loud, but they said it. Mm-hmm. So here is the conspiracy. They're trying to control us every way they can, including our money. I think they think if they can get to the money and control the money, they got us. Mm-hmm. Like, know where it's at, tell you how to use it, and all those other things. And that's where I sit here. Now, you know, there's all kinds of conspiracy things, you know, like flying saucers, you know, are they hiding those kind of things, you know. But what interesting things do you think about, Terry, when you think about conspiracies?
When I think about conspiracies, I think about all the things that have been done to us by our government. And I look at it like this. When you catch somebody lying to you and doing something to you, after the couple of times, the level of trust goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after it happens a dozen or two dozen times, you have no trust. That's kind of where I am now with our government. Every time they do something and tell me it's good for me, I know it's bad for me. That's kind of how it works.
Mm.
So, you know, the term conspiracy theorist was fashioned by the NSA because too many people kept bringing up the Kennedy thing because nobody believes the Warren Commission.
Right.
So actually, Freedom of Information Act found a document where they said, well, we need to start using the term conspiracy theorist because that way it'll cast, you know, a shadow of a doubt on these people. We want to.
Right.
The first thing they do is character assassinate you. If you're a threat, they're going to make you look like you're crazy. That's right. Kind of what the whole conspiracy theorist thing is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of like Ken Fisher. He's trying to make everybody look like a liar except himself. Ken Fisher, you know, he's always talking about, you know, don't buy the safe things, get the dangerous things.
Right.
You know, that's me paraphrasing it. That's not the words he uses, but you can go back and read it. But Ken Fisher has been shown to be not so knowledgeable about a lot of things. But, you know, one of the things about Ken Fisher, and the government's turned him loose, let him do this, is that he has built up a way to get people to call him. Because why? They're scared. My idea is that it's a conspiracy to get control of the money and send it all to Wall Street through that system.
Right.
Makes sense.
That's my idea about it.
272-9228, if you want to jump in with this, can make a comment, ask a question, and we'll be glad to take your call. And I've got Grasshopper on the phone over here. And I think that might be part of the conspiracy because he looks a lot like Elvis. And, you know,
I know.
And you never see him and Elvis together.
I'm beginning to wonder.
Weird.
Strange. It's sort of like if he had a suit on, he would be the young Elvis.
Uh-huh. You know? I caught him down a while ago, and he was looking through the donuts. They had some donuts down
uh-oh.
There. And he was like,
uh-huh.
Jelly
ain't
donuts?
Ain't no jelly. Uh-oh. Ain't no jelly. Ain't no jelly. And then he saw me, and he went, oh.
You like peanut butter?
A little bit, yeah, I do like
just
it.
Like a little, well,
like a little bit. A whole hoagie full of it or something.
A little bit of it.
Have you seen the Krispy Kreme donut that's filled up with peanut butter?
One.
Are they good?
They're awesome.
Oh man,
they're addictive.
Man, I don't need one. I just want to go hold.
No, you don't need one.
I just want to hold
eight of them.
I want to hold it.
Okay,
and just
why don't we get a caller? Why don't we get a caller? Get someone to call us and tell us what their favorite conspiracy is, and let them ask Terry some questions because he's an expert.
Oh yeah.
And we'll put you in for a drawing for a Folklorelli's pizza at the end of this show. 272-9228. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about conspiracy theories.
And unless you might have been out of town, living under a rock, you got a curfew, you're incarcerated, I don't know what it is. If you didn't know, Terry
does a show here on this radio station every Saturday night. I believe it's 4 hours now,
yeah,
from 6 until 10.
Yep.
And it is very entertaining, and my wife loves to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when we're out, she says, let's turn over and listen to Terry. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And so she really enjoys it, too. So, and the name of the show is Clearing the Air.
Clearing the Air. That's
and
right.
you are on the podcast as well.
Yes.
So you can look it up on the WACB podcast.
Right.
You notice what I did there? Larry Stevens taught me how to say W. You don't say W, you say W.
It sounds like
that's really. Do that again.
W.
That's excellent.
That's my only real professional
thing.
It
almost sounds like you're a Yankee when you say
it. Just does. About. You have to kind of go into Yankee mode there for that. W.
W.
I said W.
I've got a friend who, and I believe him. Uh-huh. I really do. He says that he saw a flying saucer.
I saw something one morning. You go ahead with your story. And
I'm going to try to get him to call in sometime and talk about it. But essentially, he was a teenager.
Just Joe?
That's Joe.
Joe been around now.
He'd been around.
Joe's been around.
And he wouldn't tell a lie. He would not. He wouldn't hurt a fly, and he wouldn't tell a lie. But Joe's, when he was, I don't know, he was like probably 12, 13, 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
They were, you know how it is, you sit up there and you look up in the sky?
Used to when you didn't have no Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
That's what you did. You go out and lay on the top of the barn or the pump house and look up at the stars and stuff.
Yeah. Well, he said this thing came down really close to him and got really, really close. It was huge. And then they saw it shoot way up in the sky, and it looked like it turned into a star real quick. Mm. And I'm going, okay. But I believe him. You know what I mean? Like, it made an impression on him.
Well, I was coming to work one morning. This is the early days over at Y102. You can say it on the radio, I guess. Anyway, I'm coming down, and it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Coming 65 this way, you know, and right there before you get to the river bridge, where it used to be kind of flat out there. There's a lot of trees and stuff.
Right.
It's been nearly 30 years. I'm cruising along, probably my little Toyota may do about 60 or 70, and a little red light was out in that field, and it came up and kind of was pacing the car.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got to the river bridge, it just went straight up.
I think you told me about that.
It didn't curve. It was like it stopped, eek, and then went straight up.
Yeah.
And, of course, I get to the station. I start talking about it, and we called out to the Civil Air Patrol. And
right.
We ain't seen nothing.
Of course
you,
they
you,
haven't.
You see again, call us.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I will. But that's the only time I think I've ever seen something that I couldn't figure out what it was.
Well, you know, there's been books written on this. I've read a few. Of course, it was been a few years ago. The Nazis really did have flying saucers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They really did.
They made them, didn't they?
Yeah, they made them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, where did they get all that information? That's something Terry might know about. You know about where they might have got the
I can
the
tell you, but you're going to look at me and give me a very funny look. The story is, Hitler was big involved in the occult.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, all the Nazis were.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the society at Yale that Bush and those guys belong to, that is the Western branch of the Thule Society.
The Skull and Bones, is that?
Yes, Skull and Bones, exactly. Mm-hmm. The Nazis supposedly made contact with beings not from here. And I think one man's aliens, another man's demon. It's kind of how I look at it from a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
They had help from elsewhere. And actually, Wernher von Braun, before he died, admitted they had help from elsewhere.
Wow.
That's where they got the technology. What they wound up doing was taking mercury and spinning it inside of a titanium donut. And somehow that puts a field out, and the field reverses gravity.
Wow.
And allows the ship to move. Then all they had to do was figure out how to direct it.
Now,
the Nazis were brilliant.
Would this be something anybody could build? I mean, you got to get some titanium.
You could, but getting mercury, and mercury's probably the most toxic substance on the planet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we used to carry it around in our hands.
Yeah, in our teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we're brain damaged, I guess.
One of the many, yeah.
That could be it.
But, supposedly we've been reverse engineering these things, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
So most of what we see up there supposedly is ours.
Right. Well, there was several astronauts. You know, you can laugh about this all you want.
Uh-huh.
But there were several astronauts that claimed that we have been visited, and that they have actually, some of them actually had seen these visitors. One of them was Cooper. He actually,
Gordon Cooper.
Gordon Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
He actually saw them.
Uh-huh.
He actually saw one, he said, land in a...
on a base.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the little fella come out of it.
There is a gentleman who recently passed away, and when I start telling it, you'll know who it is, okay, because you can help me out. I remember he had a beard like the Amish people, and he always spoke about this alien who was entrenched in the government, and his name was Valiant Thor.
Yes. I've heard of him.
Okay, yeah. Now you know who I'm talking about. And he just passed away, and I always... When he said something, with some people, if I went up to him, you know, seen that light out there, and you know, they just, you go away, you're crazy. This guy's got PhDs and all just like, you know,
yeah,
just my IQ just went down 73 points thinking about him. You know,
right.
Of course, 74, I ain't got much to play with. But this guy seemed credible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written several books.
I've read that.
And he said he would be walking down the hall in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Door would open. There's this Valiant Thor dude. He would appear,
mm-hmm,
just out of nowhere.
Right.
Like poof, he's there.
Right.
And he'd be riding in an automobile, and he, mm-hmm, would come to tell him stuff. And, you know, I really said that he's more credible than anybody I've heard. Well, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, Edgar Mitchell was another astronaut, mm-hmm, who's, mm-hmm, he said he never actually saw them himself,
uh-huh,
but he was from Roswell. He grew up close to Roswell, and he knew all. He called them the old people, or the old timers. I think
that
is the word.
That were there when all that stuff happened.
And he went back and talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was a funeral director of, mm-hmm, some kind, and he swore that they put three little bodies in three little caskets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever, yeah, hear that story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that exactly story right broke. I mean, it was all over the world. They come back, oh, no,
yeah,
that's not. That's not. Well, a plane went over and some carnival rides fell out of it.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
just, and then they showed the dummies that they threw out to do these parachutes. I think, were they experimenting with cadavers?
No, they were dummies that, uh-huh, they made up to do high altitude,
right,
tests, is, and, what they claimed.
But they got that together real quick,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, speaking of dummies, you know...
What did I do?
I don't think we're that dumb, okay?
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty smart. Whenever the government, in my business, in the financial business, mm-hmm, whenever the government comes up with some kind of rule or law or something, and they call it, we want to protect somebody.
Whoops.
And we want to know where all this money is.
Uh-huh.
I'm going, how does that protect them from me to tell you where all these people's money is?
I know.
You know?
Red flag.
Yeah. So, you know, I firmly believe that if you're investing your money,
uh-huh,
you need to find ways that don't get reported as often. And I'm not talking about doing anything illegal here. I'm talking about being smart and using products that don't tell everything about your money. It might just be in a file somewhere, but if you have to send it to some part, or if there's a government part that can audit it and look at it,
mm-hmm,
they can see where your money might be, and that's just scary to me.
Mm-hmm. That's like letting Jesse James hold your billfold, yeah. I was just looking at the clock here, and what you guys doing later? Because there's this, you know, these lounge singers.
Mm.
They it's like these little Holiday Inns and stuff. And I think there's one up 65.
Uh-huh.
And they just come through town. And I think the guy's name is Lenny Lovelittle. And he's a lounge singer.
Uh-huh.
And we've planted a microphone down,
okay,
here at the thing. Because maybe we'll listen. Maybe we'll want to go down later. You know, a lot of times,
sure,
people meet there for a... You know, like a little rendezvous kind of thing.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And Des Buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tune in now. And
tune the microphone.
Yes, yeah, I think Lenny's doing his show down there now.
All right.
And let's see what he sings here.
Yeah, I'd like to do one now by old Blue Eye, Frank Sinatra. Oh, yeah, they called him Blue Eye. Not many people know this, but Frank Sinatra was a Cyclops. I'll get back for you. If I don't see her for a day, well, brother, let me tell you, that's okay. not the best looking girl in the place. She's Nancy with the hatchet face.
Oh, yeah.
See her on TV all the time. Quoted the Constitution. Yeah, she said it. Man, I'll bet that heifer never even read it.
Yeah.
She's a big disgrace. Nancy with the hatchet face.
Thank you. You're beautiful.
I don't know about you.
Hey, by the way, old friend of mine's in town. I want to have him come up and take a shot at the next verse of this old standard. Sammy, where are you, Sammy?
Sammy!
Right here, man. Hey, good to see you, brother. Why don't you take the next verse?
Hey, man, that would be groovy.
No, man, you're groovy.
No, man, you're groovy.
Hey, we're both groovy. Sing, brother.
Well, she's got those big old eyes. And some great big bulgy thighs. And that mouth, man, it's all over the place. This Nancy with that jacked up face.
Oh, it's hideous, man. It's hideous.
Great job, Sam. You want me to do a little Bojangles, man?
No, we don't have time.
Oh, come on, man. Just a little.
No.
Come on, man. His dog up and died.
No, we don't have time. You do it for Dino, man. When Dean gets here, we'll talk.
So you want to go?
I'm there.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we can sneak Grasshopper in. That'll be long.
There you go. That's what I want to
say. Sammy shows up. That's the great thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I went to Las Vegas not too long ago, and I saw the Rat Pack show. It was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't they all dead? Have they got, like, Rat Pack lookalikes or something?
No, I think that's a conspiracy theory.
Is that a conspiracy? Well, that's one of the good ones, then.
I saw the Fab Four there, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that.
That's good.
Yeah, and it is pretty good.
Yeah.
They got one of the, I think he's a midday guy from the radio station I was working at in Spokane. And he actually, they had a part written for a local disc jockey to talk up a record. Oh, he nailed it. He was practicing. He practiced and practiced. Yeah. And he did good. He did great. And he is in Las Vegas now, selling real estate and playing radio.
Cool.
Well, you know, that's where they go.
Yep, that's where old disc jockeys go.
Las Vegas. Yeah, that's where all the dough goes.
You better believe it.
There's gold in there.
In them casinos.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a friend that just went over there, and he betted on all kinds of stuff. You see, he betted on the Alabama-Auburn game and won a few hundred bucks.
Cool.
The thing that got me was he betted against his own team. That's kind of weird.
That's what you call hedging your bet, right there.
It's all about making money.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm into hedging. When we do things, we do hedge with some of these products, you know, so that it can make more money when the market goes up. But we do fix it where it can't lose when it goes down.
CYA.
That's the beauty of it. You're talking about hedging, you know. We don't know what the market's going to do. It has gone up so much these last few years. I just don't see it keep on selling like that. You know, it just can't do it. And I think if they cause enough commotion, I'm almost certain that they're trying to crash that thing. You know, I mean, if they wanted it to keep on going up, why would they be doing all these things they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know. I'm not so sure that them trying to sacrifice Trump is so that they can make the economy go down and then they can get back in control again.
Well, somebody said something today, and it made a lot of sense. And they said that this impeachment, said this is what Trump wants.
Yeah.
Because they've not allowed hardly any of the Republican witnesses to be interviewed or deposed, as they say. So if they do this, this is a high-stakes poker game.
Right.
If they do this, they're going to be coming out of the woodwork. And it was like the other day.
this young Republican senator from Florida. His name escapes me, but he was going off, and he said there were five of them. There says, if any of you have any information that would indicate that the president had done something improper, raise your hand.
Hmm.
And he said, Sarah Sagan said, let the record show that no one raised their hand.
I heard that.
He was all over them.
Let's have a trivia question.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Why don't we just make it real easy? Mm-hmm. What year did the flying saucer crash in
Roswell?
Roswell.
I know that one.
You know it?
Yeah, I do know that.
Anybody call in here for Folcarelli's Pizza? Let us know what year the flying saucer crashed
and
in Roswell.
You know, that's kind of weird because a pizza kind of looks like a UFO. Maybe that's what it is. Somebody's throwing pizzas up there.
You may have a point there.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you one pizza place that's out of this world.
Oh, that was slick, man. I like that. That's good. Terry even pointed at him when he did that. That was good. What is it, as if he didn't know?
It's an Italian place.
Yeah.
You know, he must be an Italian Martian or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know Paul Hardy? Is that his name?
Paul Hardy.
I thought he was Italian.
Oh, really?
He's not Italian.
No, I didn't think so.
But,
maybe the Martian or something.
He's a very nice man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, the Folcarelli's Pizza, you know, is owned by a preacher.
Mm-hmm. That's him.
Yeah, yeah. And he makes that pizza out of the bread of life.
Yes, that's what brought Elvis back, I think.
I'm telling you, it's some good pizza there.
It is very good.
So maybe we got a caller coming in here and going to answer that trivia question. And maybe you could think of a trivia question, Terry. We'll throw one out there if you want to do one.
Has there been another incident as high profile as Roswell?
No.
Nothing since 1947.
No, not like that.
So the
Phoenix Lights, you know, that was pretty big. But
yeah.
And as far as a crash or a landing, not really.
And what about the Fiddle Faddle?
Fiddle Faddle. I don't remember that one. Fiddle Faddle, New York.
What about, I was cursing on the radio. What about the Let's All Rush Area 54? How did that turn out? Did anybody go? Like two guys in a pickup truck? Or?
Only those with a death wish would even think about going into Area 51 where they have big fences and
guns,
Constantine wire,
and
machine guns.
Okay, now, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Mm-hmm. What in the world is Constantine wire? That must be some bad razor wire.
That's the razor wire.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just might get some for mine.
You don't want to mess with that stuff.
No, it doesn't.
It'll cut you to pieces.
Look like it. Oh, we got one on one here, and it is Susan.
Susan.
Oh, Susan.
All right.
On line one. Susan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm just trying to win the pizza.
Wow. Boy, I turned you up too much. All right, Susan. But first, where are you calling from?
Montgomery.
Okay. And you listen to the show all the time?
I do.
We knew somebody was listening. Now we know we found our one listener.
This is great.
Okay. Now, we need the year of the Roswell incident.
Oh, no. 1947?
Yep.
There you go.
That is exactly right.
Ding, ding, ding. You have one.
I got to get us a ding, ding. I'll get us one.
Yes, yes, yes.
Susan, you got, what is it now?
She's in for a Folcarelli's Pizza. We're gonna have another trivia question and maybe another one, but somebody's going to get a Folcarelli's Pizza out of it.
Okay. And let's see now. You're here in Montgomery, so that'll be easy if you do happen to be the winner. So tell us just a little bit about Susan. Are you from Montgomery?
I am from Iowa.
Iowa.
I heard the accent there.
You know, James T. Kirk? He's from Iowa. He's born in like 20...
Was he really from Iowa? I know he was on Star Trek show.
No, actually, William Shatner's Canadian.
Oh, okay.
But,
well, that's right.
It's like, Mr. Spock, eh? Yeah, but they didn't, you know. You work in Montgomery?
I'm a caregiver.
Oh, that's great.
Bless your heart.
Taking care of folks.
Good job.
And is this you take care of one person, or you travel around and do like home nursing and stuff like that?
I take care of one person.
Well, that's probably a full-time job, and God
you.
Love you for it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Thank you for calling, Susan.
Thank you.
Grasshopper's going to pick it up and get some information from you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to push one more trivia question in. You got one,
Terry? Good phone, man.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
My trivia question is, how many high-rise buildings in the World Trade Center complex collapsed on the morning of 9/11?
Wow.
All right.
That's some good conspiracy stuff right there.
That's a good one.
All right, and it is Jerome. Jerome, are you on the phone?
I am, but it's John.
Okay.
John. Hey, John.
What'd you do with Jerome, man? You ain't heard him, have you? We ain't paying no ransom. There's another conspiracy. But, John.
What else? Yes, sir.
Are you calling for this trivia question?
I was calling about the Roswell one, but I'll take a guess at the high rise.
Okay.
I'm going to say 5.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Are we gonna go high low or just move on?
Just move on.
Okay.
Somebody knows.
Hey, John, try again.
All right.
We appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks a lot. All right. It sounded like Jerome, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was John. Yeah. And with that question's out there, how many of those big buildings fell down on 9/11? And that was 2001, correct?
Yes.
You know, and I went up there after they fell down.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty amazing what, you know, they had done a lot of cleanup work, but
yeah.
it was pretty amazing what happened there.
Yeah.
And all the memories that they had, you know, like posters and pictures and things up. And do we have another call?
Nope.
No.
Somebody was calling and they chickened out.
Oh, well, don't do that.
No.
Well, hey, you know, they might just, you know, talk about it for a minute. I'm going to play our one commercial, if I can find it. And it's about our Christmas blowout.
Oh, yeah, we need that.
Okay, we're going to play that and then we'll fill in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
All right. And we'll do that. It takes a second to kick in here.
Sounds like a plan to me.
It takes more than a second for it to kick in.
Tis the season, everybody, and it's big Christmas doings with the Health and Wealth Show. Saturday, December 21st, that's the Saturday before Christmas, we're having our big Christmas blowout. It's going to be from 3 in the afternoon until 6. It's absolutely free, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Just load up all your Christmas merrymakers and come to 2754 Bell Road. You'll find us there at Affordable Events. I hear Santa Claus is going to be there. Young Elvis, we're going to be taping for a new episode of the Health and Wealth TV show, and there's no telling what else might happen. And did I mention that it's absolutely free? For more information, just listen to the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest, weekday evenings from 6 until 7 on News Talk 93.1. And mark your calendars for Saturday, December the 21st from 3 in the afternoon until 6 for the Health and Wealth Christmas Blowout, sponsored in part by Ernest Financial LLC.
There we go. Hey,
that's unbelievable.
They're talking conspiracy stuff over. That's okay, man.
Yeah, man, that was some heavy stuff. That's scary.
Really?
What Terry was just telling me. Oh, no. Yeah, that's scary, too.
Well, while we're on the subject of the Christmas blowout, hold that thought on Terry. I understand that the Rhythm Aces are coming.
They're coming.
And
Slap Out Bob should be coming.
Slap Out Bob
coming? Yeah, Slap Out Bob. Slap Out Bob, if you're listening, you're coming. Yeah,
are you?
He said if the Aces
are coming. Are you going to come out?
Come out when? What?
It's on the 21st. It's our Christmas blowout from 3 to 6 over at Bell Road.
He's going to ride his Suzuki over there.
What day is it?
It's on a Saturday.
On Saturday?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you can ride that thing with 3 or 4 wheels, whatever it is.
That'll work.
Yeah. Come on over there.
Good stuff.
Yeah, come over there.
Yeah,
maybe
come up for a little bit.
Maybe you'll sell one for Christmas.
You never know.
Yeah. I might want one.
All right. Now, tell me about the scary stuff y'all were talking about.
Well, it's unbelievable what Terry was just telling me about how the building's ownership had changed before the Twin Towers fell down.
Yeah.
You want to fill it in, Terry?
The Port Authority, 9/11, or excuse me, the World Trade Center complex had always been under the authority of what's called the Port Authority in New York.
Mm-hmm.
3 months before 9/11, for the first time in the history of the World Trade Center, they leased it to a guy named Larry Silverstein. Larry Silverstein. Okay. Larry Silverstein insisted that he have insurance policies to cover terrorist attacks.
I read this the other day.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
After the attacks, he sued the insurance company claiming he should be repaid twice because there were two different planes that hit the tower.
It was like...
He won.
It was
he walked
like
away
billions.
With over $7 billion.
Mercy.
Sounds like a plan, isn't it?
He's leasing. It's not even his. He's leasing
it
and gets $7 billion.
He is on a documentary. three or four years afterwards, and he says in this documentary, I remember getting a call from the fire chief saying, we don't know if we can save Building 7, so I told him, well, go ahead and pull it. Let's just go ahead and pull Building 7. And in the demolition trade, pull it means to detonate. So they blew up Building 7. He walked away with all that money.
That's crazy. Gosh.
And see, these are the things we don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. And we probably don't really want to know.
Okay, we've got Rick. It's our buddy Rick over there on one.
Okay.
Let's talk to Rick. Rick, you there, buddy?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Just checking in with you guys. Yes, there'll be some music being spun at the Christmas party also, along with your Elvis and Slap Out Bob.
Hey, Rick.
Well, hey.
I've got a question for you, sir. Does your lovely wife possess any elf garb that she might consider dressing as an elf?
Not me.
I don't know. I'll have to ask. I've already sent her forward back to the house right now, so I can't speak for her at this moment.
You're smart. You're a very smart man, Rick.
I'll send her a message later and try to sweet talk her a little bit.
I knew Rick was real smart. He's not going to speak for his wife.
And I think I'll tell my elf story.
Okay.
I can tell it. It's not ugly.
Okay.
I was working in Spokane, Washington, and had a young guy was our program director. He was about 21, 22 years old. And it was Christmas time, and they had asked me to be Santa Claus. I've lost 70 pounds, by the way. Not then. I still had it then.
Yeah.
And so, I do a pretty good Santa Claus. So, we're out one day. And we're at the Piggly Wiggly in the parking lot. And I'm dropping him off to pick up something. I'm just sitting in the car. Well, we're sitting there. And he says, you need an elf to be Santa. I said, it'd work out. And I said, well, we get one of the girls at the station, they like to dress up like elves sometime, put on a little funny hat and a little leggings and stuff. And lo and behold, I look up in the rearview mirror and I see this head go by at about mirror level back there. I turn around and it's a little person.
No.
It's a little man.
Really?
He had to be about 3.5 feet tall.
Stay with me, Terry. Stay with me.
So anyway,
okay, we're listening. We're listening.
He's going up to the Piggly Wiggly to, I guess, get something. And so the guy turns to me, the young guy, and he says, hey, I'm going to ask that guy if he'll be your elf. And I said, do you know this guy? He said, no. I said, but I'll offer him like $100 asking him to be an elf. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I'd do that. And he said, oh, no, I'll go in. And so the little man, goes into the Piggly Wiggly.
Mm.
And my program director, his name was Tim. Tim goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that's a dumb move.
It
ain't going to turn out well. And so something told me.
This reminds me of Dirty Santa.
Something told me to start the engine. And so I turn the key and the thing starts up, and I'm sitting there kind of revving up. I back out. About the time I get pointed toward him, here he comes, Tim, running out of the Piggly Wiggly.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about dead run.
Yeah.
Here comes the little person behind him with a knife that looked like it was about a foot long. He is, and Tim is shouting at the top, open the door, open the door. And so I just peel out, go around, get sideways, kick the door open. He jumps in, and his feet are still out. I take off, and the little dude chases us down the street a little, and he throws the knife. I hear it hit the back of the vehicle, and I turned around and told him, I said, I don't think I'd have done that if I was
they made a movie after it. Somebody was watching.
Uh-huh. But the thing was, we were in the station vehicle. I said, he knows where we are. He knows you, dude. He didn't see me. He knows you. But they finally got one of the ladies at the office to dress up like an elf. We didn't see him again.
Well, we'll have some elves there, I think.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, maybe some from the North Pole.
Hey, we got somebody else on the phone. Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed that story.
It was great.
Yeah,
hey, I got a comment for Terry.
Okay.
On your earlier conversation.
Yes.
My uncle was a fighter pilot on a B-52 in World War II. And when the war was over, he went to work for NASA down at Cape Canaveral. Mm-hmm. And he would send me magazines and books all the time. And again, he would not make no committing comments in reference to people's extraterrestrial stuff or that kind of thing. But he would say, don't ever think that we're the only thing here.
Yep.
In this universe, you know.
Yep.
And he was, you know, they worked on all the flights and the, you know, rockets that they sent up mm-hmm. and to the moon kind of stuff and all. And that was his take on it anyway. He,
gotcha.
He wanted to expose that, you know. It's
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Rick, we appreciate it. We love you guys to death, and we'll be talking to you soon.
That'll work, sir.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Right.
Thanks, Rick. Right. Thanks for calling.
And we've got, I cannot see who's on the other line because I'm far away from the thing here. And I'll just.
Looks like Sam.
Is it Sam? Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sam, I am.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I had to call in and chime in. I have a fun little quick story about being lied to and ripped off. I thought this might be appropriate night to
welcome
share.
To my world. Come on, tell your story.
All right. Listen, I was talking to Terry the other night, trying to put him to sleep, telling him some old war stories about Desert Storm, Desert Shield. Those of us that participated and went and invaded Iraq and ran the Iraqis out of Kuwait. Well, we got us a gold medal. Yes, man, a beautiful gold medal. We got back home and Saudi Arabia supposedly fitted the bill. Each gold medal, we had an ounce of gold in the center.
That's nice.
And that's what they told us. Well, a few years later, in the Army Times, it came out that no, the Army, they say the Army, but somebody kept the gold, and we got a gold-plated medal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I cherish my medal. It's the one time, you know, I did something right in life. But I'm just saying, it's the crooks and thieves, if they think they can get their hands on something. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
the government wouldn't steal from you.
No. Just,
no.
As they say.
Perish the thought.
They would never put a 42% national sales tax on you if they could get away with it.
No.
They
Well, never.
Well, anyway, I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Sam.
They shut me down. It's documented, and I got the evidence, but... Anyways, enjoy the show, and I hope
you all
have a good night. How
thank
about
you,
that?
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Love Sam.
Right on, man.
All right, man. Thanks. And we've got a few minutes left. You know, do you tell me what you want to do? Now, you want to, we don't have anybody on the phone.
No one's answered the conspiracy question.
We can wait for a call. We've got a couple minutes. I don't think Terry has heard the other Nancy Pelosi song.
Oh, okay.
You want to do that?
Go ahead.
Okay, Terry, this one, we played this one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when Miss Rosie was leaving a while ago, she asked, she said, did you do that? And I said, yeah. I said, well, did you like it? She said, yeah. I said, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did. There you go.
So
this is
our Christmas tribute to the whole impeachment thing. So here we go.
Nancy got run over by the Trump train, stumbling down the tracks on Christmas Eve. You could say the old girl had it coming. That's what good Republicans believe. She had been working on impeachment and a fifth of Maker's Mark. Said she had to go to Walmart. And away she went zigzagging across the park. When we found her Christmas morning, down there by the railroad tracks, she had that same bug-eyed look on her face and incriminating Trump marks on her back. Nancy got run over by the Trump train, stumbling down the tracks on Christmas Eve. You can say the old girl had it coming.
Why, yo.
That's what good Republicans believe. Now all the Dems, they are looking just to see what they can see. Who was it snuffed out Nancy? And Hillary hollered, well, don't look at me. Just who was the guilty party? that knocked Nancy off her pegs. Bernie Sanders asked Joe Biden. All Joe said was,
"And by the way, you know, I got hairy legs."
Nancy got run over by the Trump train, stumbling down the tracks on Christmas Eve. You could say the old girl had it coming. That's what good Republicans believe. Now AOC has lost her role model. Hear her moan a mournful moan. Now it seems that in the future, she'll just have to be a dumbass on her own. And poor old Lizzie Warren. This whole thing just has her miffed. She says they should start an investigation. So somebody go and wake up Adam Schiff. Nancy got run over by the Trump train, stumbling down the tracks on Christmas Eve. You can say the old girl had it coming. That's what good Republicans believe.
Everybody now.
Nancy got run over by the Trump train.
All right, everybody. We're going to fade out in interest of time here. It just gets merrier from there. We've got a couple of calls on the phone. Let me look here and see who we got. We've got Connie on line one. Let's get Connie on the phone. Hey, Connie, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to say on the towers, I'm going to say three.
Three?
Yep. Bingo.
Three. All right.
You are
Connie, you have the correct answer. You got her name and address yet? Yeah, where are you calling us from, Connie?
I'm above Wetumpka. I'm in Elmore County.
It's okay. You can say
up there
it.
Up in EC there. All right, I'm going to put you back on hold so Grasshopper can get your information, and we appreciate you listening.
All right, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
All right, we got that, and he's going to get her information, and we'll have just enough time to pick a winner.
We don't have another caller?
No.
Okay, good.
He's got her on the phone now, getting her address and everything. Okay. You figure out how we're going to do this. You're gonna pick a random number, or
go ahead and pick a random number in your mind.
But from between one and three,
one, two, or three. Put it in your mind.
Yes.
Got it.
I'll ask you.
Is this the mentalist part of the show?
This is.
Okay, we got about a minute and 20 seconds here. Tell Connie she needs to talk fast.
She can. She's good.
You know Connie?
I do.
Okay.
She's a friend of mine.
Okay.
I admit that. I believe it's from pizza. She's a good person.
You got her address? Okay. Well, right. You can still.
What number is it?
Uh-oh.
Two.
Hole number two.
Hole number two.
All right. I already got the winner here.
Throw it out there, sir.
Susan.
Susan? Well, congratulations, Susan.
Congratulations, Susan.
She's the middle caller. He picked her, too.
She got herself a pizza from Folcarelli's pizza. And, you know, maybe we could get with them and they would make the UFO pizza. Maybe we could come up with something new, and that could be the Terry Adams special on Saturday night. You go in and mention Terry's name, and you get a regular drink and a regular pizza at the regular price. And that could be fun.
So, Susan, call Folcarelli's Pizza. I don't remember the number right off.
It's
244 something.
We really should have that.
Yeah, we should have read that. Yeah. But anyway, call them and ask for Rachel and tell her that you are the winner, and I'm going to let them know that you won.
Okay. Well, it's been a great show, gentlemen.
It has been.
As always, thanks to Terry Adams. You got that phone number there? Okay.